Let's pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from John, the 10th chapter, the 22nd through the 30th verses. Hear now the word of God. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Perception. It's important. It really is. Sometimes we perceive things, and for the life of me, I cannot figure out how you perceive what you perceive. When I perceive things, I use the scientific method. I use data, science. It doesn't lie. I don't jump to conclusions like some of you. When I was just old enough to know it all, when I was 12, 13, there was a lady, an acquaintance of my mother's, came to our house, and they started talking, and my mother asked me to leave the room. That's usually a sign that they're getting ready to talk adult talk. I don't know if your parents used to do that to you, but they did it to me a lot. But me being the resourceful young man that I was, I stuck my ear to the door, and I listened. This acquaintance told my mother that this fairly well-known man who lived 15 or 20 miles away in a different town, he had some moral failing. And so she was telling, it sounded, she used the words that you would use in a prayer request. It really were the words that you would use in a prayer request, but it sounded a lot like she was gossiping. Now, I know that nobody at Kingswood has ever done that. But she finishes this telling about this moral failing by this prominent man in another town by saying, "And you know, he's an optometrist, just like John Thomas is." Which made me think, is she saying that every optometrist is going to have the moral failings of this man in this small town in Georgia? I thought it was the most idiotic failure of logic I had ever come to ever hear in my life. Isn't that silly? To ascribe to somebody who does not even know the other person the traits of another person just because they have the same occupation? I thought it was silly. And then I started thinking about it. I'm that lady. You're that lady. We're all that lady. Something happens to us. Somebody does something. We observe something. And we ascribe that attitude, those actions, that sin to other people. Don't we? Am I the only person here or y'all asleep? I mean, y'all are supposed to say, "Yeah, that's right, preacher." We do that. And the New Testament and the Old Testament is filled with perceptions. Perceptions. Who is Jesus? That's the question. You read the Gospels, What kind of Messiah, what kind of shepherd, what kind of king is Jesus going to be? Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they have an episode in the desert, in the wilderness, where Jesus is tempted three times. Satan wants to know, the tempter wants to know, what kind of Messiah Jesus is going to be. John, you don't have a temptation story. Every time somebody comes to Jesus in need, his response is telling you what kind of Messiah he's going to be. What kind of shepherd are you going to be? This is what I know about shepherds. I learned from coming to Sunday school and from Christmas Eve services, because shepherds hang out with their flocks by night. That's what I know. I also know that if you read about David, when he was a teenager, he used to be a shepherd for his daddy, right? And the Bible tells us, which is really, when I was young, it really intrigued me. Now it scares me to death. He killed wild animals who were going to hurt the sheep. I thought he was a superhero when I was a kid, but I don't want to be a shepherd if they got bad animals coming at you. So what I know about shepherding, I learned from the Bible. I perceive this picture of a shepherd from the Bible. Psalm 23 is a good picture of a shepherd. And then, several years ago, I was reading an article about shepherds in Australia today. When their lambs are born, they put a GPS transponder in their ear, connect it to their computer through software, and their shepherd hangs out at home wherever it is, and it could be on the other side of the world. They know exactly where those sheep are at any given point of any given day. They can tell when the sheep has gone astray. They can tell if the sheep is broken out of the pen. They can tell everything about that sheep. The whole operation, it can be controlled from the guy's computer. When they want the sheep to go drink, they open a gate, and the sheep make it to the water. And when it's time to move and they want to move them to a different field to eat, the gate closes and another gate opens and they go to another field. They can rotate them around just by opening and closing gates. They can apply medicine to them. They go through these one at a time pathways. They can weigh them, feed them, all those things. And when the sheep get to the appropriate age and weight that where they are ready to be taken to market, one gate closes, one gate opens, and they go into a holding pen for the shepherd to go then take them to market. That really changed my thought about being a shepherd. I think I can be that kind of shepherd. What about you? And then, in 2011, I go to Israel for the first time, and we were on the bus going from Jerusalem down to Jericho and Qumran and the Dead Sea, and then we're riding along, and I look out the window of this bus, and there's this hill that looks like dirt. It's brown. There's not a green speck anywhere, and there's a Bedouin shepherd on that hill with his sheep. I don't know what those sheep were eating, but they were out there. They say that there's some grass there. And then there was the black sheep of the flock who had gone astray. And I thought, well, I know I can experience that. I'm the black sheep. I'm the one who always went astray. At least that's what my parents always told me. And I got the picture back. But you read the Bible and it talks about shepherds. We know the 23rd Psalm and what it says. We can read Isaiah and what it says. Isaiah 40 says these words about a shepherd. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. We all like to think of shepherds like that. But then we read about shepherds in Ezekiel, where God says, "Woe to you shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourself with wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of your flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally so that they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals." The kings, the chief priests, those in authority, they were shepherds. They were not the shepherd of the 23rd Psalm. They're not the shepherd of Isaiah 40. What is your perception of the shepherd? In the days of Jesus, I thought they were good guys, you know, out there in the field. Then I find out in the socioeconomics of that day, the shepherds were people that you could not trust. They were the ones, when danger happened, they would run. They did not think of the sheep as theirs, and they wouldn't fend off people. And so, what is your perception of the shepherd? In the whole New Testament, the Gospels, is people have different perceptions of what the Messiah is supposed to be. What is he supposed to look like? How is he supposed to act and react? In the 9th chapter of John, we hear the story of Jesus healing the man born blind. He did a terrible thing. He healed him on the Sabbath. Everybody was mad. They basically wanted to ask, couldn't Jesus have waited one more day? I mean, the guy had been born blind. He'd been blind all his life. What's one more day? Well, it really doesn't make any difference to you or me. We aren't the one that's blind. Right? It's the difference between major surgery and minor surgery. Minor surgery is what happens to you, and major surgery is what happens to me. What is our perception? And you get to the end of the 9th chapter, and the Pharisees, after going round and round about all that took place about this man who was born blind, who received sight on the Sabbath, they asked the question of Jesus, "Are you saying we're blind too?" If the writer of John had actually heard it, you would see these words, "Duh. Yes, you're blind. We're all blind. We all have misperceptions of who Jesus is supposed to be." And Jesus then tells them in the 10th chapter, in those first verses, he tells them, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." He's a different kind of shepherd. Completely different. And then when you get to our scripture, it tells us it was the Feast of Dedication. How many of you understand and know what the Feast of Dedication is about? It's not one of those things that we think about when we think of the Passover. The Passover came when the children of Israel were exiting out of Egypt. Remember? It's something dating back to that. You have also have the Festival of Tents or that. You have Pentecost. We know those. The Feast of Dedication is to commemorate something that happened In B.C. 165, Judas Maccabeus, the Greeks were controlling Jerusalem and Israel, and their leader desecrated the temple by sacrificing pigs on the altar. And Judas Maccabeus rose up and delivered the children of Israel from the Greeks. This feast is to commemorate that. And this connection occurs between perception and truth. Are you going to be a deliverer or shepherd like Judas Maccabeus? Are you going to be the one that runs the Romans out this time? And that's not what Jesus says, is it? That's not what he says at all. He says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand." What kind of Savior, what kind of Messiah do you profess? Is it the Good Shepherd? Is it who knows your voice and you know his voice? Is it one that we follow, truly follow, or is it one that we just give lip service to? What kind of Savior do you perceive in your life? My prayer is that all of us will know the voice of God, will hear the voice of God, will follow the voice of God, and work harder each day and strive harder and more each day to hear more clearly, to love more dearly. That's my prayer for you, and especially those who profess their faith today for the first time. May we all know the Good Shepherd. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.